ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text 28. Nama, Nama, Tubhyam, Asaya, Vega, Shaktitrayaya, Akila Dhi Gunaya Prapannapalaya Duranta Shaktaye Katindriyanam Anavapya Vartamane Namo namastubhyam asaya vega shakti trayaya kila dhi gunaya kapanna palaya duranta shaktaye karindriyanam manavapya vartamane Namo namastubhyam asaya vega. Shakti trayaya kila dhi gunaya. Kapanna palaya duranta shaktaye. Karindriyanam manavapya vartamane. Namo namastubhyam asaya vega. Shakti trayaya kila dhi gunaya. Prapanna palaya duranta shaktaye. Karindriyanam manavapya vartamane. Masahyada Vega Shakti Trayaya Kila Dhi Gunaya Kapanna Palaya Duranta Shaktaye Karindriyanam Manavapya Vartamane Namo namastubhyam masaya vega Shakti trayaya kila dhi gunaya Karindriyana manavapya vartamane Ladies, anyone? Namo namastubhyam asaya vega Shakti trayaya kila gunaya Prapanna palaya duranta shaktaye Krindriyanam manavapya vartamane Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Nama, again I offer my respectful obeisances. Tubhyam, unto you, Asaya, formidable. Vega, forces. Shakti Trayaya, unto the Supreme Person who has threefold potencies. Akila, of the universe. Dhi, for the intelligence. Gunaya, who appears as the sense objects. Kapannapalaya, unto the Supreme, who gives shelter to the surrendered. Duranta Shaktaye, who possesses energies very difficult to overcome. Karindriyanam, by persons unable to control their senses. Anavapya, who is unattainable. Vartamane, on the path. Translation. My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength in three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Please repeat. My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength in three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport. Attachment, greed, and lust are three formidable forces that prevent one from concentrating upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These forces act because the Supreme Lord does not like to be realized by non-devotees and atheists. However, when one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, these impediments are withdrawn, and one can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is the protector of the surrendered soul. One cannot become a devotee until one surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet. Then the Lord gives one the intelligence from within by which one can return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the last sentence of the purport, the last two sentences, one cannot become a devotee until one surrenders unto the Lord's lotus feet. Then the Lord gives one the intelligence from within by which one can return home back to Godhead. This specifically refers to two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter. Can anyone tell me what those verses are? Especially one verse, but really two verses are together. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhijogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna says, Tesham, unto those satata yuktanam who are always engaged in devotional service, bhajatam priti purvakam, and worshipping me with transcendental love, dadami buddhi jogam tam. I give him the intelligence, yena mam upayanti te, whereby he can come back to me, back home, back to Godhead. And the next verse, te sham mevanukam parta mahamma jnana jam tamaha, Na shamyatma bhavasto gyana deepena bhasvata. For the surrendered devotee, I who am situated within the heart, destroy the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. So here it is explained that the Lord's energy for the non-devotees is very, very difficult, impossible to overcome. And that's also stated in Bhagavad Gita, a very important verse. And it's also stated in the same verse and here also, but when the devotee surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, then he withdraws the impediments. Daivihyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, which consists of the three modes of material nature, mamamaya, gunamayi maya, is very difficult to overcome, but Mameviye prapadyante mayamitam tarantite. But when one surrenders unto me, he can easily cross beyond it. There are many similar statements. There's also this statement that although this world appears to be very vast, if one surrenders to Krishna, how could one cross beyond the universe or the material nature? How is it possible? But it is said that when one surrenders unto the Lord, factually, then that whole material nature becomes no more than the water contained in the calf's hoofprint. This material world is often referred to as an ocean of birth and death, Bhavasagara. But that great ocean can be reduced to the little bit of water contained in a calf's hoofprint for one who completely samashrita ye padapalava plavam. One who samashrita fully, absolutely takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So here it is said that the Lord is unapproachable by those who cannot control their senses. And similarly, in Upadeshamrita, it is said that when one can control his senses, then he is fit becoming a spiritual master and giving instruction all over the world. You know this verse, Vacho Vegam, Manasakroda Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasta Vegam, etan vegan yo vishaheta dhira sarvam apimam visha, what is that? Sarvam pitivim sashishyat. I don't remember. So, of course, to become fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord is not immediately possible for most people. In the Nectar of Devotion, it describes six stages of surrender. And the beginning is to accept everything favorable for devotional service and to reject everything which is unfavorable. So if one begins, that is what we're practicing here. We are trying to accept everything which is favorable for Krishna consciousness. And we're trying to reject everything which is unfavorable. And of course, Prabhupada again and again and again and again explained in summary what is unfavorable. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. So that was his instruction. Positively chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds minimum. Study these literatures and engage in practical devotional service. And then at the same time refrain from the four pillars of sinful life. So aside from this, I was reading a Prabhupada lecture a few days ago, which I found to be very, very wonderfully interesting. So I will repeat what I remember of that lecture. Of course, in the religions which are now widespread in most of the world, especially the Christian religion, Mohammedan religion also, there is very little idea of God. Once I was on a train ride, and there were other people in the compartment were all Christians. They were going to some Christian function. So I started asking them some questions. And especially one was very strong that whatever we know, whatever the Bible says, Jesus, that's it, and everything else, forget it. But I was saying that you're all, in your own way, devotees of God. So can you tell me, what does God do? Do you have any idea, what does God do? So the fanatical one said, God doesn't do anything. In 6 days he created the world, and then the seventh day he rested. That's it. And otherwise, there's some conception that God is in heaven sitting on his throne all the time. Just sitting on his throne and awarding benedictions for his worshippers. But of course, Prabhupada explained that the beginning of understanding God is given in the Vedanta Sutra, which is repeated in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Janma yasya yataha. God is the origin of everything. Therefore, whatever we see in our limited experience must exist in God. And I was trying to say this to the Christians, that God has created us, that they can understand. And we have so many activities. We are not still for hardly a minute. And you mean to say that God has no activities? it would seem then God has become less than us. So, in this lecture of Srila Prabhupada, he was more referring to the Mayavadis, the impersonalists. Mostly, people have an impersonal idea of God. They see this world, and then to conceive of God, they just negate everything. That God is some kind of formless, personality-less, senseless, activity-less, supreme power. And their objective is to, after death, merge into that supreme Brahman. So the impersonalists, their desire is to become one with God. But Prabhupada is pointing out that the devotees, they, in a sense, become more than God. Of course, asamordha, God is, no one is greater than God, no one is equal to God. Of course, that is a fact. God is vibhu, we are anu, we are very, very small. But Prabhupada gave the example that Krishna, he enjoys engaging in transcendental pastimes with his devotees. And in those pastimes, the Lord and the devotees forget their actual position. The position is that Jivir Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. We are eternally the servant of Krishna. Krishna is the master, and all others are servants. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsa Britta. So there is only one supreme master, Krishna, and everyone is a servant. Now in the material world, the master never wants to become servant. Everyone wants to be a master, and if someone becomes a so-called master in this world, he never wants to come down to being a servant. But in the spiritual world, which is absolute, Prabhupada says, there's no actual distinction, in a sense, between master and servant. So he gave some very nice examples, which you all know, that when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he would go with his cowherd boyfriends to play while tending the cows in the fields. Then they would have some sporting contests. There would be Krishna's team and Balaram's team. And whoever was defeated had to carry the victors on the shoulders. We read that in the Krishna book. So although Krishna's the master, he is carrying the servant on his shoulder. And of course, for us, the very much best example is Partha Sarathi. Krishna is the chariot driver of Arjuna. Krishna became the servant of Arjuna, and Arjuna became the master. Arjuna ordered Krishna, Senayor Ubayor Madhe Ratam Stapayame Achyuta. Oh Achyuta, please put my chariot in between the two armies so that I can see who has come here to fight. So although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master, and Arjuna is the servant, still, Krishna became Arjuna's chariot driver. And then later in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna displayed his universal form, At that time, Arjuna became very ashamed, thinking, "Oh, Krishna, Saketi matva prasabham yaruktam, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi." He says, "I would address you in very familiar terms, and we would sit together, lay down and sleep together, eat together. In this way I disrespected your supreme position. Because, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that in order to enjoy the rasas of Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, one has to forget that Krishna is God, that Krishna is the Supreme Controller. Otherwise, how the gopis could sometimes chastise Krishna? Oh, you are very cruel." And another example Prabhupada gave, and this is also found in the prayers of Queen Kunti. Prabhupada was very fond of the prayers of Queen Kunti, and they are very, very wonderful. For those who want to memorize something, and Prabhupada suggested, devotees should learn some of the prayers which are found in the Bhagavatam for reciting. So these prayers are very, very nice and can be recited. So some of the prayers Kunti Devi is explaining, it's very confusing that although God is unborn, although He is unlimited and beyond material nature, still He appears amongst human beings, even aquatics, sages, and He exhibits pastimes which are also confusing. She pointed out specifically the pastime when Mother Jasoda found that Krishna was very naughty, breaking the butter pot and distributing the butter to the monkeys. When Krishna became too naughty, then Mother Jasoda wanted to tie him up. Krishna tried to run away, and of course, who can catch Krishna? Nobody. But Krishna allowed himself to be caught, and then she was holding stick in her hand, and she had caught Krishna. So it is described, Krishna's eyes were overflowing with tears, so that the black ointment on his eyes was being smeared. So this is confusing, Kunti Devi saying. Fear personified is afraid of Krishna, but Krishna is afraid of Mother Jasoda. How? So that is why only the devotees can understand Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise, non-devotees who think of Krishna as imagination or perhaps a very great person, human being, of course they cannot understand. So there are so many other examples of how Krishna becomes subordinate. Although He is the Supreme Master, He becomes subordinate to the servants, the devotees. So the impersonalists, their hope is to become one with God. But the devotee, he wants to become the mother of God and chastise Krishna. What an exalted destination. So that was, in essence, the wonderful lecture of Srila Prabhupada that I read and remembered. So in order to attain that exalted position, of course, it's not easy. And that is our practical experience. It is not easy. I was talking to another disciple of Srila Prabhupada who joined quite early on. And somehow in Srila Prabhupada's time, because of Srila Prabhupada's influence, the devotees were totally mesmerized. The devotees were totally fired up. They were filled with so much enthusiasm, so much hope, so much confidence, and so much energy. So this devotee was saying, when I first went to the temple and saw the devotees, I thought they were all liberated. And I remember when I first went to the temple in Boston in the USA in 1970, the devotees seemed so amazing. I thought they all had all the mystic powers. I thought they could understand my mind. And then after very little time, maybe 1 or 2 weeks, I asked a senior devotee, Hridayananda, now he's Maharaj, but that time he was Brahmachari. After 2 weeks, I asked him, I've already been here 2 weeks, how long does it take to become liberated? I thought, well, 2 weeks must be enough time, but I'm not feeling liberated. What's wrong? Of course, he must have laughed at my innocence. And then he explained, takes patience. And of course, in Upadesha-amrita, that is also explained. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized that three qualities we must have. First of all, utsaha. There must be enthusiasm. And factually, not only in Krishna consciousness, but in any field, without enthusiasm, no one is successful. Isn't it a fact? Those who are top cricket players, they have enthusiasm. If they didn't have enthusiasm, how would they ever come to the top? Whether business, whether anything, even a student must have some enthusiasm. Otherwise, how will he study? So the beginning is utsaha and enthusiasm. There must be enthusiasm. And enthusiasm is contagious. Of course, it's possible to be enthusiastic by yourself, by oneself. But if I'm entering a group and they're all enthusiastic, then I must also gradually become enthusiastic. Utsaha nishchaya, and confident. Just like someone was saying, the great sculptor Da Vinci, either Michelangelo or Da Vinci, he said he could make very nice statues by carving marble or other such stone. So he said, when I see the block of stone, I can see within that stone exactly the figure that I want to carve. Therefore, all I have to do is take away the excess pieces, and there it is. So he has confidence. If one is not confident, then how he will go on with enthusiasm? And of course, Prabhupada gave his disciples that confidence. Not only by the way he spoke, which was very confident, that everyone was struck that when Srila Prabhupada spoke, he didn't have doubt. He never showed that he had any kind of doubt. He was completely confident. Of course, devotees were convinced he was confident because he had seen Krishna. Krishna was speaking to him. Srila Prabhupada said, "These books I have not written, actually." Sometimes Prabhupada would read his own books. And some devotee might say, "Nobody reads their own books. Why are you reading your own book?" Prabhupada said, "Actually, I have not written, but Krishna has written through me. That's why I am reading." And another time, Prabhupada was being interviewed, and the person was asking some question, I don't know exactly what, but he wanted to know if he is getting inspiration from God. So Prabhupada said something, and that reporter didn't understand very well. So Rameshwar, I believe it was there, and he explains that Krishna is within the heart. So for one who is surrendered to Krishna, within the heart he gives understanding. Prabhupada said, no, I am talking to Krishna directly. So if we accept that, then we can understand how Prabhupada was confident. So utsahan nishchaya, one must be enthusiastic and one must be confident. What kind of confidence? If I simply devote myself 100%, I am sure to attain the goal, going back home, back to Godhead. And that's an important verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it describes Shraddha, faith. Confidence means faith. One is confident because he has implicit faith that, yes, I will attain all success. So that is nicely described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhupada quoted this often. I don't remember the text completely. Maybe you can fill it in for me. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas something. In the end is Sarva Krita Hai. That real faith is when one is sure that simply by executing Krishna consciousness, everything will come. There's no need for any separate endeavor. That is Shraddha. That is firm faith. So that is the confidence that is required for advancing in Krishna consciousness. But one thing more, utsahan nishtayad dhairyat. One must be patient. And Prabhupada explained this many times. To become fully Krishna conscious, and to taste the fruit of love of Godhead, it is not so easy. He would give the example that if you want to grow badam or other such valuable nuts, these take long time to mature. You don't get very easily like a tomato. So therefore, one must be patient. And another example he gives is, when a girl is first married, she may want to get a child very quickly. But after marriage, she cannot get a child on the first day. So she must be patient. So So we may find that even after some years, the goal seems to be elusive. But we must be patient, because there is no other hope except for Krishna consciousness. There is no other solution to life's problems. And except for Krishna consciousness, there is no other way to come to the platform of eternal happiness. Therefore, one must be enthusiastic, confident, and patient as well. And here it is explained that as long as one still is under the influence of the material nature in terms of lust, greed, and material attachment, then it will not be possible to attain Krishna. It will be impossible to approach Krishna. But when one factually surrenders unto the Lord unconditionally, here it is said that these three are withdrawn. So, of course, when we are young, we naturally see in the world, not everyone, of course, just like last class I gave some 10 days ago, I described how Prahlad, the description is there in the Bhagavatam, even he was a small child, he had no interest in playing. He had no interest in anything of this material world. But of course, we are not Prahlad. So of course, when one is young, generally one sees so many things which he feels to be attractive. Once Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in New York, and outside there was a little musical ting 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 ting. And Prabhupada asked, "What is that?" The devotees knew that before, maybe not now, I don't know, but even when I was a child, there was a truck which slowly come everywhere, and that musical sound meant it's an ice cream truck, and all the kids would come running and you could buy ice cream from the ice cream truck. You wouldn't have to go to the store. The ice cream would come to you. So there was the musical sound, da 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 da. So Prabhupada said, "That is Maya. Maya is trying to attract you. Come, come, come and enjoy. But don't listen to Maya." Of course, in the youthful age, that attraction may be very strong. And sometimes people ask, if God is all merciful, then why does He make us die? Why does He make us get old and have so many diseases and then die? Why? But actually, this is also beneficial for us, because when one becomes older, then there's the chance, if he has heard properly from the bona fide spiritual master, he can understand better. There's only frustration. There's only a hard struggle for existence. That to try and enjoy the so-called pleasures of this world, there may be a drop of pleasure, but the trouble you go through is like an ocean. So when one is older, this can be realized more practically. And therefore, the miseries of material existence of old age should be an impetus for becoming more Krishna conscious. Of course, for those who are not Krishna conscious, then even in the most miserable condition, one still hopes to enjoy material life. Prabhupada gave the example that Emperor Akbar, he asked, who did he ask? Was it Birbal? Or, I think so. But anyway, he asked his minister, because Akbar was young or middle-aged at that time, he asked, how long does one have the desire for enjoying the opposite sex? And the minister said, right up to the moment of death. And Akbar said, I don't believe that. So then a little later, the minister said, come with me, I'll show you. He said, we are going to a man on his deathbed. He's going to die in a few days, but bring with you your young and beautiful daughter. So the minister, Akbar, and the beautiful daughter, they entered the room, and the dying man, who did he look at? The daughter. And Akbar could see the man was gazing longingly at the beautiful daughter. So he said, you are right. And Prabhupada, in another way, he said, people are so determined, so hopeful of enjoying the material world, that even a man is practically dying. He's laying in the hospital on the bed. There are things stuck in his arm. He cannot even get up by himself. And somebody comes in. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. In India, it's different. If you go to a shop, the shop owner doesn't care anything for you, doesn't pretend to care for you. But in America, they're a little smarter in some way. They know that if the salesperson is very friendly and treats you in a very personal way, that you'll come back to their shop again, perhaps. So when you go to a big American shop, suppose you're a supermarket, you're buying food, and then you go to the checkout person, they'll always ask, and how are you today? How are you feeling today? And I see that everyone says, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I feel like saying, what great? You're being led day by day to the slaughterhouse of death and suffering so many miseries. And what are you talking great? So, of course, detachment and transcendental knowledge, they are byproducts of rendering devotional service. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam cha yadahaitukam. First, there is knowledge. If one receives proper knowledge so that he can see things as they are, then naturally he has the good chance to detach himself from material existence. And when one becomes fully detached by simultaneously attaching himself to Krishna and Krishna's devotional service, then one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So thank you very much. Are there any questions? Any comments? Yes? Give him the microphone. You had questioned last time. You are the question man.
Srila Prabhupada made a big...
Speak clearly, otherwise I won't understand you. Speak very clearly and slowly.
Srila Prabhupada was greatly successful in converting Western disciples who were Nirvisheshwadi and Shunyavadi. But Mayavadi mostly exist in India. So how far the Mayavadis have been converted to Krishna consciousness? Any idea?
Can somebody tell me clearly? I cannot really understand everything.
Mayavadi people.
You're saying Prabhupada was very successful.
Mayavadi people,
yeah,
are mostly found in India.
In the West also, there are many people interested in spiritual life. They have an impersonal conception.
So, Shunyavadi and Nirvisheshwadi were converted to Krishna consciousness. How much Mayavadi have been converted to Krishna consciousness, according to your experience and observation?
Well, something, not everything, but some significant amount. It's slowly, 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 slowly. Something significant, especially in India. India, as you say, is just full of Mayavad. That's true. But now is making some progress. Takes time. Not easy.
Devotees are expected to have equal vision for Brahmana, Chandala, elephant, and but we can't have equal vision for Mayavadi. Is it so?
I couldn't understand that.
We should have equal vision for Brahmana, Chandal, elephant, and
we should have conviction for
equal vision.
Equal vision.
So, can we have equal vision for Mayavadi people also?
No. We can have equal vision theoretically, but practically still we have to act according to the situation. Prabhupada gave the example. You may claim you see all equal. You may embrace your wife, but would you embrace a tiger? You may have that equal vision, but you won't embrace a tiger. We are trying to come to the Madhyam platform. To see everyone without any distinction, that is the highest platform. But we are trying to come to the middle platform where we make four distinctions. There is Krishna. Then there are the devotees. There is the innocent public. And then there's the demons or envious people who are against God. So we love Krishna, we engage in devotional service to Krishna, we make friendship with devotees, we show compassion to the innocent people by trying to engage them in Krishna consciousness, and the envious people we totally ignore.
Thank you, sir.
Dandavat Pranam. Guruji? May I raise a basic question which has been troubling my heart for the past few years, you know, regarding one of the episodes in a book titled Stories.
Put the microphone closer and speak slower and clearly.
Prabhuji?
Yes.
I mean, may I raise a small question which has been troubling my heart for the past few years, you know,
okay,
regarding some of the chapters which you have written in the Stories in the Puranas. After translating the Puranas, you also came up with a book called Stories in the Puranas. You will be able to recall. So, in that, you know, in some of the chapters, you know, I mean, we get the impression that Radharani, Srimati Radharani is not being shown in the proper light. Especially when this book is intended for Hare Krishna devotees, I mean, what I felt was that those episodes were not exactly showing Radharani in a good light. Or should I say, they were showing a rather poor life. So, there are many people in the lower and middle levels of Radha Krishna Bhakti who may tend to misunderstand. So, was it really necessary to include those articles especially considering the fact it is intended for Hare Krishna devotees. I think you can recall what I am referring to.
Well, you're saying much, but I understand little. Let me see. You're saying that in some of the Puranas that Radharani is not described in a good way. You're saying that? And then, what more are you saying? And therefore, well, the thing is that one has to receive Vedic knowledge in parampara. If one doesn't receive it in parampara, it'll be useless. So first you must be convinced of that. So, of course, other thing is there are, Prabhupada explains, and the Puranas explain, there are 18 Mahapuranas, that 6 are for those in Sattagun, 6 for those in Rajagun, 6 for those in Tamagun. So the Tamagun Puranas, they put everything in the opposite way. Because there's some people, they can only understand that. So, best thing is don't worry about all the Puranas, don't worry about anything, just listen to what the Acharya has said, then you are safe.
I'm only referring to that particular book, no? Stories from the Puranas, not to the other.
Oh, chapters. My book, Stories of the Puranas.
Yeah, you may be able to recall, no, a few chapters in that, where you have written, no? I think you'll be able to recall. I don't want to raise that in this forum, because I know you will understand, because you can recall what I'm referring to.
Yes.
Probably this is not the right forum to raise the question. That is why I'm just giving you a hint. You will be recalling.
So what is it in that book that you found objectionable?
I mean, they gave a new dimension, no, to the character of Radharani. An element of jealousy is inbuilt in those episodes, which was not called for.
Of course, it's true, I compiled that book.
Yes.
But I must say that all of these stories, they're not coming in disciplic succession. I compiled the book just because somebody wanted these compiled, so I did the best I could. But one should not take this seriously. One should only take Prabhupada's words seriously. Should not take it as authoritative. For example, I have also written one Mahabharata and Ramayana. But these are not actually authoritative. It gives a general story, that's okay, but one should not take every little thing as being perfectly authoritative. In fact, I was speaking to some Indian gentleman, devotee in Alachua in America, and he told me he has some friend in India, I don't know who or where, but he has collected like 4,000 different manuscripts of Mahabharata from all over India. And each one has a different way of expressing things. Some are very, very different. And he was saying, especially the South Indian ones are very different. He said, but because Mahabharata is taking place in North India, he thinks that the Northern Indian versions are more accurate. But the point is that you can never be sure of anything. Only that which is spoken by the pure devotee in disciplic succession, that is sure. Okay, Hare Krishna. All right, thank you, Hare Krishna.